The Church Media Podcast, episode number 80, Creating Moving and Memorable Moments with Ben Stapley. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media productions in the church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world. Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now at 1230media.com/podcast.
And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Well, hey there, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We've seen a massive influx of new listeners the last couple of months. So if you're new, welcome to the party. Thanks for being with us. This is the definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build a solid, thriving volunteer culture at your church. We try to give you some great resources and let you hear from some of the best minds in church media today. This week on the show, I welcome Ben Stapley. Ben is on staff at Liquid Church in New Jersey as their video director and church online pastor. Ben is a blog author on our site and has extensive experience in creating moving and memorable moments. He has produced and created some inventive ways to engage audiences. If you're looking for some really cool ideas for elements to add to your weekend experience and how to create moments that people will remember, buckle up because Ben shares some great stuff with us this week. My interview with Ben is on its way, but first, your church media resource of the week.
And now, your church media resource of the week.
Software, websites, gadgets, and tools that will resource your creativity and your ministry.
Well, hey there, this is Brady Shearer from ProChurchTools.com with your church media resource of the week. And if you're the type of person like me who makes a lot of videos for your church, you know that one of the biggest hassles and struggles that you come across is finding royalty-free music. Of course, you can't just throw any music in your videos, lest you be pursued with some legal troubles. You want to stay away from that. But finding high-quality, royalty-free music can be very difficult. Usually one of two things happens. You're either going to pay a ton of money for a single track, like $100. It's the perfect track, but it costs a lot of money. Or you're going to pay a low amount, but you know, the music track just isn't that high quality. But I found a great site that has been working as an alternative for me. Hopefully it can be helpful to you as well. You can find it at soundstripe.com. And what makes soundstripe.com unique is that it's a subscription service. So it's unlimited top shelf video production music for just $10 a month. You can use it anywhere, YouTube, you can show it at your church, throw it online, view it live during a service, whatever. And you can cancel it anytime. There's no commitment. And really, the music is incredibly high quality, and if all you did was use one song a month, for instance, you would be making that subscription worth it for you and your church. So check it out. I've had a great experience with them so far. It's a newer site, soundstripe.com. This is Brady Shearer from ProChurchTools.com signing off. Hope you enjoy this week's Church Media Resource of the Week.
For more free resources for your team, visit 1230media.com/training. This is an exclusive interview from 1230 Media and Carl Barnhill. Get shareable content and free resources for your team at 1230media.com/podcast. Here's Carl now.
Hey guys, today I welcome by phone Ben Stapley. Ben was the Director of Programming and Media for South Ridge Community Church and now serves as the Creative Arts Pastor at Liquid Church in New Jersey. He has over 20 years' experience in creating and capturing memorable moments for churches, nonprofits, and corporations around the world. He's also a regular contributor to our blog at 1230media.com. Ben, welcome to the podcast, man. I am pumped to have you on.
Carl, it's great to be here. I love the content that you guys put out at 1230 Media. Love your site. Great to be with you today.
Thanks so much, man. Now, tell our audience a little bit about yourself. You write for us, so people are reading your stuff and getting to know you, but I'd love for you to just give us a quick bio of your family, your role at Liquid, that sort of thing.
Yeah, certainly. My family is wonderful, definitely married up to Rose Stapley. We have two little girls. and we live here in Hunterdon County, New Jersey. I am a Canadian, so you might hear some outs and abouts as we speak. I apologize if my Canadianism slips out, and I say sorry at some point in the interview. But that's where I'm from, and we've been here in Jersey for about 12 years now. Been on staff at Liquid for just coming on to a year. Liquid is located in the northeast of Jersey. We have six campuses, almost about 4,000 people on a weekend on Sunday service across our campuses. And my role there is as the creative arts pastor. That can kind of mean a lot of different things for a lot of different churches. So what it means for us here at Liquid is that I will oversee the service experience. I'll oversee the video department, the worship department, and our church online community as well. So we have our six campuses. On top of that, we have a robust online church presence every Sunday as well.
So what does the church online pastor role look like for you? You engage with an audience there in a chat room type of thing, or how do you minister there on Sundays?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we do is we kind of have three values for that. First of all, it's the place for us to create a spiritual environment for people in the digital space. So people who are kind of digital wanderers who are haven't plugged into a physical church yet, it's a chance for them to have the spiritual needs met. It's a chance. It's also a campus alternative for people who are already plugged in. So people who are vacationing, sick, working, it's a chance for them to still experience church if they can't make it out on a Sunday morning. And then one of the biggest values is it's a welcome mat. The website used to be most churches' welcome mat. So before I come out to your church, I want to take a look at it beforehand. Website does a great job at that. Now Church Online does an even better job for it. So I can tell my neighbor, hey, come out to my church. We have normal people there. They'll smile. They'll say hello. They'll engage with you. It's even better for me to say, hey, even before you come, check out a service online and see what it's like. And then if you're not scared away, I'd love for you to join me. So it gives people a chance to experience a broader welcome mat and see what it's like and give them a chance to kind of try before they buy and actually commit to coming on out to one of our physical campuses. So we'll do that. People get a chance to experience that anytime during the week, kind of 24/7 on demand. But the best time for the way we have it set up is we have a chat services hosted at our service times, 9, 10, 30, and 12, Eastern Standard Time. So either go to a service physically or go to a service online, and it's roughly the same experience.
All right. I wanted to have you on because you've been very instrumental in the churches that you've been on staff at in creating some really powerful moments using some really unique elements. So let's define some terms here. You use these on your website. So what is moving and memorable moments in your eyes?
Yeah, that's a couple descriptions that I would use to kind of categorize that. First of all, it's moving and memorable in the sense that it's having a positive effect. Oftentimes, you can have something moving and memorable, but it's to a negative effect. And so that's the first caveat. I say, hey, first of all, it's going to have something positive, points towards God in a lasting way. An example of the negative I would use is if, you know, sometimes you can have a moving and memorable because there's a tech snafu in your service or something goes awry or terribly bad. Everyone was moved by that and are going to remember that, but I like to look at the positive side. Hey, how do we create positive, moving and memorable events? And then something that I also encourage, or when I look for these type of moments, is something that's going to move people from their head to their heart. So a lot of services can be framed, and a lot of the Christian experience can be filled with kind of propositional truth. And for something to touch your, move beyond your head and get to your heart is going to stick with you and oftentimes have lasting change and spark transformation in yourself. So when I try to create those moments, that's what I'm looking to go beyond the head to the heart. So, you know, we're not bypassing the head. We're going to start there. But moving beyond that and touching into people's emotions, that's oftentimes the best way it's going to stick with them. And then the last thing I try to do is catch people off guard with those moments. It can be easy for our Sunday services to become rote, and we do the same. You know, we got 52 of them each year, and it can be easy to kind of get in a pattern and lock it in. And so if you're able to create little pockets of space in your service, or even beyond your services, whatever events you're planning, and you're able to move people and give them something that they're going to take away, then oftentimes you got to do it by catching them off guard. And you got to, whatever it may be. You know, maybe that's, hey, when we serve communion, it's always after the message. Well, we're going to do that at the beginning of the service. We're toying around with in our meet and greet time. We just had brainstorming time with that. Hey, this year, what are some creative ways that we can do that? We can catch people off guard so that it's not just a stand up, say hello to your neighbor, and let's complain about how cold it is. Okay, right. No, let's do that. I think we're actually trying to plan to involve milk and cookies at one of our upcoming services and have it like a hosting experience and completely catch people off guard so that they would remember that. And oh yeah, church is a place where we should welcome and be welcomed. And that's just a way, it's a small way to catch people off guard and give them something that they're going to take home.
Man, I love that. All right, so where do you start when you're creating and crafting those moments? Do they start in brainstorming meetings or ideas that you have just on a whim? How do they start? How do you craft them?
Yeah, I like to start with the beginning or the end. So the beginning being you have an idea that you want to wrap a service or message around, and then so like how do we get there with that? So one of those examples for me was we had an idea once for Easter. Okay, so where are we beginning with? Okay, well, we know we have Easter to work with, so let's go from there. And then one of the creatives said, hey, you know, I've always wanted to incorporate the heartbeat into the Easter service, and maybe we could end the Good Friday service. We started with the beginning. Let's start with the Easter service with Christ's heartbeat starting up. It's kind of dead silent, it's all black, and we're going to start there. We're like, oh, that's an awesome idea. One of the other creatives jumped in and said, okay, we're going to do that. If we're starting Easter with the heartbeat beginning, then we need to end Good Friday with a heartbeat ending. And so we had the beginning. We knew we had an idea. We had a starting point, and then we took it from there and went from there. So that's one way. The other end of the way is to start with an end. So you have a destination that you need to get to, and then, okay, we want to get to this point. How do we get creative? And we get there. And oftentimes, most services are planned that way. Like you have, okay, it's Mother's Day. You have the end. We want a great Mother's Day service. That's what the end is. And then you start throwing ideas at the board and seeing what sticks. We had one where we were doing again. It was an Easter service. And okay, how do we make this Easter service different? Hey, let's incorporate the liturgy aspect that our Catholic brothers and sisters do so well, and let's incorporate that into our service and do the rubbing of the ash instead of on the forehead. Let's rub it on people's palms, and then at the end of the service, they have their hands washed off, and we kind of get a chance to symbolize the cleanliness that they have, the spiritual cleanliness in Christ. And so sometimes it's the beginning. You have an awesome creative idea, and you need to kind of figure out how to shoehorn it into a service. Or it's the end. You have a service, and you need to figure out an awesome creative idea that you need to make it.
Got it. All right, so how far out do you plan these things? How do you have brainstorming meetings along the way? How far out do you plan?
I've found that in terms of a teaching calendar, it's best to look at it from a year perspective, a month perspective, and a week perspective. The year is a real big picture perspective. Most of our series will last about a month. And so what we'll do in the fall, this is what we did back in 2016. In the fall, we'll take a look at that teaching calendar and say, okay, if we had 12 series, what are the series that we want? And kind of map that out over the course of the year. And that gives us a really strong skeleton for the creative teams to play with and start to put some flesh on. Then what we do is we start looking a month out. If we try to get too far ahead of it, that people are so busy working on executing what is currently happening that they don't have the creative bandwidth to look forward 2, 3, 4 series down the road. So we'll look at the next one that's coming up. And then that's where we'll throw our strongest creative energies at and the brainstorming sessions at that month ahead of time and start working on delivering them. And then the week time frame is giving us a chance to just make sure we got our marching orders from the month's perspective. And then the week out, hey, is there any last-minute tweaks we have to do? So year, month, week, week, year, big picture, monthly was to create a vision, and then weekly, are there any last-minute tweaks? It's kind of how I felt, how I found it's best to work that tension between the teaching staff and when they can have content for you, and then the creatives and how much time they need to execute.
Yeah, I know a lot of churches. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. I was just going to say a lot of churches struggle with that. With okay, how far out do we plan, or last minute? You know, things from a pastor or the pastor not knowing how far ahead the creative team needs to be, and the creative team gets frustrated, that sort of thing. So to have that kind of clearly laid out is really beneficial. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
We, something at Liquid that we do that when I talk to other creatives working in the church environment, one of the strongest encouragements or recommendations I'd have them go to back towards that I found worked really well for our creative team at Liquid is the teaching staff. They all run through a full practice with their message on Thursday night, and that's that's with props, that's with videos, that's with graphics, that's with staging and hitting marks and cues. A big part of it is a chance for the teaching pastor to get feedback and to tweak the message. Oftentimes, teaching pastors will preach, and then they'll ask after the fact, hey, how was it? So at that point, you're not going to throw them under the bus. You just say, hey, that was a good job. But if you can get them to practice with feedback sometime midweek, first of all, it refines their message and makes it better. And second of all, it gives the creative team a finish line. So for us, we put all the creative assets to bed Thursday night. Sometimes it's 9 p.m., sometimes it's midnight, but we will finish that on Thursday night because we're done. Teaching pastor is prepped the whole week, is ready to go, and the assets are done, and that prevents any last-minute phone calls on Friday or Saturday saying, I need this other illustration, I need this graphic, I need this prop, because they've already done that legwork. So for the creative team, we get a chance to work really hard in the week, knowing that we're going to have an actual weekend,
right?
Because we had that deadline of Thursday night.
Yeah. So who's involved in the planning stages? Or we talked about planning and brainstorming these memorable moments. I think these moments come out in your service planning and your series planning. So who's involved in that process at your church?
Yeah, for us, it's all of our creative teams, moving from graphic to worship, video, stage design, communications, promotions, teaching. So we have all those people in there as a non-starter. They're just all the stakeholders that need to be in the room. And the benefit of having all the creative departments represented is it allows you to have crosstalk. So if there is going to be any issue that happens, or you'll get a chance to talk to each other about it and make sure that your art complements each other instead of competes against each other. So, graphic, I know what you're working on. I'll make sure the video dovetails with it, and actually that works with the stage design as well. So those are some of the non-negotiables, which is probably pretty apparent to most people. I also like to try to get to pull in somebody who's not involved in the creative field at all. And this has a completely different perspective on what we're trying to do. And someone who can speak from the end user, the audience, and how's this going to land on you? So you can have a lot of creatives in the room, and they can have awesome ideas about how to make that memorable moment, but it can get pretty far out there, right, pretty quickly. And then to have somebody in the room saying, I have no idea what you guys are talking about, or that sounds really cool to you, but I'm a single parent and I'm like burnt out and I'm getting lost on that moment. You need to make it more practical for me. You need to make it more tangible for me. So somebody who can push back is someone else I like to have in that room, so when the idea gets too hairy and audacious, they can say it's no longer meeting that that goal as it being memorable, because it's become too artsy-fartsy that I can't connect with it and grasp onto it anymore.
What or how do you usually budget for these unique moments? Does it require some different budgeting than you normally do?
Yeah, so we usually have a good idea of what a series will cost us, and then we have a degree of slush fund for kind of last minute ideas, and that allows us to respond to those last minute ideas and not be handcuffed to this is what the budget was, and we have a killer idea and we want to execute it, but we don't have any finance. So we try to keep extra funds around and not touch them so that we can respond to last-minute creativity. But sometimes it doesn't come to you right away. But generally speaking, we know what the creative components are going to be and what's that going to cost in terms of time or finances. And then again, allocating some kind of play money gives you that chance to respond to things on the last minute, instead of saying, hey, we missed that because we didn't have that. We also like to, we try to, in terms of just financing and being good stewards, kind of create one and repackage one. So there's a lot of other great churches out there who have assets that are willing to share with you. And for us, we would love to have the resources to just do full-on, 100% original pieces at Liquid. Sometimes we don't have the cost, not just the cost in terms of what it costs to buy that stock photo, but more the bigger cost of paying for the staff to pull this off. So it gives us a bit of a break to aim to do one and to repackage one. So when people are looking at this, like, hey, how do I create all these moments? I would say give yourselves that freedom to repackage when you need to, so you're not trying to burn yourself out on the creativity windmill and just getting burnt out each series. The other thing we try to do in terms of like budgeting that helps us really is we'll aim between 4 to 5 weeks for a series. If we're throwing a lot of creative assets at a memorable moment, and then, man, we created this incredible series, and it only happened for 2 weeks, and then we move on, well, we threw a lot of resources at a two-week series, and we didn't get a chance to stretch that out. So we'll try to do 4 to 5. I think beyond 5, like a 6-week, 7-8-week, 8-week series, we kind of feel that our audience is kind of, maybe the concept's wearing a little thin with them. We want to change the channel and kind of jump onto something new to recapture their hearts and their attention. So even in terms of those memorable moments, finding out for your church and your community, what is that rate of changing the dial? Like how long can you keep them invested in something before you got to change it? It's different for every church and every community. For us at Liquid, about 4 to 5 weeks.
Gotcha. All right, so I'd like to walk through several of the memorable moments that you guys have created or that you've had a role in creating. Tell me about the Easter pottery presentation that you guys did.
Yes, I had a chance to do that a number of years ago. That was at Southridge, and Nathan, our lead pastor, wanted to teach on, there's a passage in Jeremiah, I think it's in chapter 18, and In that, God calls the nation of Israel. He tells them he wants to make them into something remarkable, like a potter does his clay. And I think the imagery there, he tells the nation, but hey, if the pot is marred, the potter breaks it and begins again. And so you have this imagery, this powerful imagery of it's got to be beautiful, it's got to be perfect. And he's telling Israel, hey, man, you're not beautiful, you're not perfect, and you got to be broken. That being said, the potter always wants to begin again and make something beautiful. So God is telling you, hey, I'm going to break you, then I'm going to rebuild you. And so this kind of lent itself to a natural kind of live moment in the service in which our lead pastor was going to throw a piece of pottery down on the ground, very dramatic, and kind of break it and shatter it. And people, you can kind of feel the service in the moment leading to that. And like, hey, that's powerful. What else can we do to kind of heighten this experience? And again, had all the different creatives in the room thinking it through, and the stage design person said, hey, I would love to get as many pots as I can and just design the heck out of the stage with
kind of making like a pottery class. Just have pots everywhere. Build the intrigue. People come in. What the heck's going on? Why are all these pots all over the place? So they're like, oh, that's a great idea. And then it just kind of leapfrogged from there. And then the next idea is, why don't we have like someone actually doing live pottery? Like have a potter's wheel and then doing it the whole time. Again, build up that intrigue.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes before the service starts, someone jumps on the wheel and starts going at it. It's happening during worship, during announcements. It's never mentioned until we start getting into the passage talking about the pottery, and then people start connecting the dots. It was a nice chance to kind of build that intrigue and not explain the art, but allow people just to experience it. And again, before, and like I said, kind of catching people off guard, it was a great chance to make that memorable moment, but to completely caught people off guard for them to see, oh, I didn't expect to see someone doing live pottery on stage at my Easter service.
Right.
So that worked well for us. And then at the end, whenever you can get people to not only experience it, but participate in the moment, it even cements the deal stronger. So we had a number of broken pieces of pottery up front. And so, hey, at the end of the service, come on up. And you describe what area is broken in your life that you want God to rebuild. Just as he wants to rebuild the pottery, he wants to rebuild yourself. So you come up and experience that. Bring it on home. So we try to make the experience as immersive as possible, multi-sensory, and catch people off guard. And it worked well. It was one of those moments that people remembered year after year.
One thing that I really want to push with our platform is this idea of creating an experience, that it's not just a worship service or an event, but it's a journey that you take your audience on. And I think that you're really hitting on some really good stuff, that these moments in your experiences are what people remember. Obviously, memorable is one of the adjectives that you use. I just think it's really cool that. So maybe what I'm asking is do people look back and remember certain moments, like, oh, I remember when we did the Easter thing and it was really kind of a life moment? What is the response that you've had from people that have walked through some of the moments and experiences that you guys have created?
Yeah, it's interesting because you look back and creating experiences isn't something new or fashionable or for the creatives to do. You look back throughout Scripture, and God is always calling his people to experiences because his people remember when they experience. And so when Jesus is about to be crucified, hey, you guys, in the future, when I'm gone, you're going to remember me, and you're going to remember this moment by breaking bread and drinking this cup. And you're going to have this experience to remember me by. You go back into the Old Testament after the Red Sea, they go through, and God says, hey, each tribe grab a stone and bring it on, make a pillar of stones, make a cairn, make a display of stones, and then when your generations pass on by, they'll say, what is this about? And you'll recall to them my glory and my fame in this moment. And we're going to make this a memorable moment, not just for you guys, but for generations to come when they pass by this big pile of 12 stones. And so God is always been about creating memorable moments, because that's how people more often connect with him. And life change and dramatic moments get signified in their life so they can come back to it and recall, oh, yeah, I remember God's faithfulness. And there's something powerful that happened in my life. As much as we're able to give people those experiences and something tangible that they can take away, like a broken piece of pottery, and they can put it on their bookshelf, God's able to use that and kind of call them back to pivotal times in their life when either they made a decision for him or he was doing a special work in their life. So as a creative person, as creatives in the church, when we're making these moments, we just get a chance to step into a long tradition that that God has been doing in his people already, and kind of capitalizing on how people are wired, how they remember, and how life change gets cemented in somebody's life.
What about your Christmas moments? What creative elements have you guys implemented for Christmas?
Christmas is tricky because it's steeped in tradition, right? And one of the things I like to say is you never replace a great idea with a good idea. So in other words, most churches do candle lighting, and that's a great idea. And I've always wondered about how to get rid of that, but I'm not going to replace a great idea with a good idea. And so if you already, just because it's traditional doesn't mean it's bad. And oftentimes memorable moments at Christmas are the nostalgic ones, the ones that you experienced as a child and the ones that you want your children to experience as well. And so the first thing I encourage anybody who's looking to make those moments is don't try to reinvent the wheel. The other thing I've tried to do with Christmas is I've tried to capitalize on the audiences that are there for the upcoming series. In other words, you want to make Christmas great, and I'll touch on that. But at the same time, you want to throw something creative at people for the next series because you have your audience there, you have your community, you have probably a double your normal attendance. Is there something that you can make memorable, not only for Christmas, but for your next series that you're launching into, so that the people who are there who came because they felt obligated because a family member invited them, that there's a call back to the next series. So if you're going to throw creative energies for making something memorable on Christmas, I would say try to do it towards, even in your announcement package, whatever it is, when you call people to the next series, throw some creative might towards that so it pulls them back. That being said, one of the things that we did at Liquid last year for Christmas to create something cosmic was we completely flipped it on its head. Tim Lucas, our lead pastor, he taught from the passage in Revelation 12, and it's this cosmic view of Christmas, where it's looking at the manger from not an earthly perspective, but a cosmic view, and we used the kind of skin or the frame of the movie at the time, The Force Awakens. We used the whole Star Wars framing of that, and it definitely pulled people on that. What, you're going to talk about Star Wars? Or you're going to use Star Wars to talk about Jesus? How does this work? And so the idea was, hey, this is a cosmic Christmas. We kind of went out. We had some stormtroopers in the hallway. People could pose for photos with Darth Vader, all those type of things to, again, catch people off guard. I never thought through Christmas through this lens. And then obviously making it memorable that I don't remember the last time I saw it. Lead pastor dress up as Han Solo when he preached a Christmas message. So sometimes you have to think out of the box and catch people off guard with that type of stuff.
Got you. You talked about Christmas. You guys did like an anniversary celebration when you were on staff at Southridge, right? And there were some some very unique moments in that. It's like 145th anniversary celebration. Mm-hmm. Walk me through some of the elements that you implemented at that event.
Yeah, so for that, oftentimes to do any type of anniversary, it just has to have that celebration theme all the way out. And so it's, you think through anything else you're going to celebrate, and if you can apply those in a church setting, it's great. So if you went to a birthday party, they would have balloons. Maybe your church should have balloons. You would have dessert. You would have ice cream or cake at a birthday celebration. So, we had Rita's on our patio in the summer, Rita's ice cream, Rita's ice, and people were experiencing that on the way out. Some upbeat, some high energy, and some cover songs that we did as well in there, some recap videos, getting a chance to show case what God has done, as much as we can kind of go back into the archival footage and pull that out and showcase the story and demonstrate how God's been involved in the church over the almost 150 years. Those are some of the elements that we made for people, be it they were there for a year or some of the people who've been there for 50 years, and to say, yeah, God's been at work in this church for a long time. And it's we see that trajectory, and we want to celebrate that. That was probably like the theme that we just had on our dry erase board when we thought through that series, and then thought through that day was this celebration, that the 75-minute experience, every minute should feel like a celebration. So how do we have that whirlwind through? When people are arriving, they're coming into the parking lot, they're coming into the service, they're coming out afterward, And so celebration was for us. And another thing to create those memorable moments is to try to make that kind of immersive as possible. So once people come onto the campus, once they come onto your site, they're going to know what the theme is, what the vibe is. And as much, you know, you can draw that out across the whole time, it's going to make it a lot more impactful because you kind of don't deviate. You have one message that you're communicating. So that also helps it to make the moment memorable, is to elongate it and just have that whole theme play all the way through.
I like what you said there about immersive experiences. We had Cole Neesmith on a few weeks ago to talk about things like that, in how to create moments that are interactive, immersive, using different senses. What have you found in your experiences and moments that you've created that really matters to incorporate different senses and to make the moment interactive, immersive, that sort of thing? I know I'm repeating myself, but do you understand what I'm asking?
I've tried to incorporate smell. It's a little tricky because some people are sensitive to it, but it's one of the senses that we don't pay attention to the most in the church world, and it's one of the ones that actually kind of pulls back our emotions the strongest, is a sense of smell. I'm not entirely sure how the mind's wired that way, but if you smell something, it usually not just takes you back to a memory, but takes you back to an emotion. Mm-hmm. And so be it's your Christmas services, then, you know, I'd see like how you can get pine-scented candles like lit in your foyer, and you bring people into, oh gosh, like it smells like there's a Christmas tree in here. I remember when I was opening stockings as a young person at my, like, as much as you can find a smell that ties into that, that's really beneficial. Yeah. It's hard because not everything lends itself to it, and sometimes there's different ordinances, especially if you're in a mobile site, and that might be tricky. But yeah, to make it multi-sensory, and then also I found it helpful is to make it multidisciplinary. So oftentimes the church will kind of respect or utilize the art of music. Hey, we like, you know, we'll do that. Maybe, you know, video, you know, people in that. The art of teaching, okay, that's a big one in churches as well. But there's a lot of art outside of music, presentation, video and graphic. And so as much as you can spread yourself, not spread yourself in, but push yourself beyond the typical art forms that are represented in the church, that again will catch people off guard and make it immersive. Something as basic as having someone doing fine art on stage and illustrating what the person is preaching on, I found to be very helpful. I've always wanted to have a graffiti artist working on stage. I've yet to do it. It's one of my life aspirations to have a graffiti artist on a stage at the same time that a presentation that's going on. Those non-traditional things are very fun. And having them outside of the auditorium space. So we did a series at Liquid Church that was examining the kind of the case for Christ, and we were using like a crime scene as the motif for it. And we had a chalk outline that was roped off in the caution tape in the foyer. So people came in, and you literally had to walk around this kind of CSI-looking crime scene in the middle of your foyer. And again, you did it. We didn't explain the art. We let the art stand for itself, create some intrigue towards what was going to happen. And then people got into the message series. They started to connect the dots, and it became a lot more memorable. So again, thinking through the non-traditional art forms, I think helps it make it immersive. Yeah. And then one of the gauges that I like to use is whether or not it is memorable is if people are taking photos. So if you have something, you know, live art or like kind of art installation, like a CSI crime scene in your foyer, if people are taking photos of it, then you know it's working because that was impactful for them. They wanted to share it with somebody else. Once someone wants to share a moment, it solidifies in their life somehow. And so if you're creating moments and no one's taking any photos, then it's a sign that something's not clicking with people. If people are, then you know you're working with them, and keep repeating whatever it is you're doing to work.
I appreciate this because I want to give our audience ideas of out-of-the-box things that they can do, not just the normal elements that we use in our services, but creating experiences with different types of art, different types of expression, different moments. So this is really good. So tell me about the importance of having an audience participate in a moment, whether that's touching something or writing something or doing something participatory. What is the importance of that?
Yeah, so much of our service experience is a one-way form of communication, right? The worship, that's participatory. People will sing out and lend their voices to what's going on there. But be it your announcement package, be it your message, oftentimes that is just one form of communication that's going at people. And the more you can make it participatory, you can make it a two-way street, that people are contributing, they're not just consuming the content, it's going to make that moment memorable for them. We found something like something as simple as getting the teacher to not just ask rhetorical questions, but calling on people for like literal responses from the stage, making it participatory, and getting their text questions, getting feedback on what they're doing. And when you have participation, that makes it memorable, makes it shareable, and most importantly, makes it transformational. So when people participate, it solidifies what you're trying to do in their lives. So oftentimes it's logistics, right? Hey, it's hard logistically. We have a full room. We can't get people to stand up and move around. Or we have a really large room, and if we were asked someone to participate and stand up and say something, no one's going to hear them. There's always unique challenges to that. And so I realize that I'm setting the bar up there high for a lot of churches. But that being said, I'm sure there's some form of participation you can ask from your people. Not ask, give them. You give them a chance to participate. And if you're able to think through your services that way, hey, not only what's the content that we're going to give them, but how can they contribute to this experience? I think it's going to be a win for your folks.
So what if my church doesn't have a pool of artists or other talents to pull from? What are ways that I can still implement creative elements into a service or event?
Yeah, I would. I may challenge the premise of the question. I would say, there's creativity in every church,
yeah.
And so you might not be aware of it yet, and that might be the trick, right? How to find these people and how to release them. But I would say every church has creative people, and finding out how God has uniquely wired you, and that's the real challenge, is finding out how God has uniquely wired you. Accepting that and then releasing it. So when I say like accepting it, so one of the churches I was at before, we did incredible floral design. We had a uncanny amount of people who worked in the landscaping, the floral arrangement business, and that's how God had uniquely gifted us. And so our foyer space, we always knocked it out of the park because those are the people we had. Now, as the person leading the creative, I was looking for Hillsong-style vocalists. That's what I wanted. And we didn't necessarily have that. And that was a tension I had to wrestle with. So I think as a leader of creative people, you need to come to grips with the people God has put in front of you and release their talents, not some fictional church that you have idealized in your mind, and see what God does with that. So finding those people, releasing those people is a trick. But as a leader, the bigger trick is to come to grips with who God has put in front of you and to accept them and to champion them, moving beyond accepting and championing them. The other thing that I found helpful is the arts is a great chance for you to ask the community to participate. So beyond your walls, how can the community participate? And I know this might be a fine line for some churches in terms of, hey, do people need to believe before they belong, or can they belong here first before they believe? And what does that look like? What do we ask for from our artists? But a great example for us was the woman who did pottery. It was a last-minute call-out. I couldn't find anybody within the church, and so I went to the local pottery class, and I found the teacher. I said, hey, we'd love to pay for your skill sets to do this, and this is the message that we're communicating. Are you on board? Could you stand behind that and do that? And she was kind of far from Christ at the time, but she said, hey, I would be up for that, and that wouldn't kind of rub me the wrong way. And it was interesting how God actually brought her closer through that moment. She wasn't up there preaching. She wasn't up there giving a theological basis for God. She was up there doing her art and letting it stand on its own merit. So finding the people in your church, what they're gifted at, releasing that, and then pulling in people from the community as well and seeing what God does with that. The one caveat was make sure you talk with your leadership and make sure they're comfortable before you start pulling in these people and where that line is. Okay, does someone need to be a member before they do a floral arrangement in our foyer? Does someone need to be baptized before they do live art on our stage? What are the boundaries that we have? And then once you know that, go hog wild and go at it.
Gotcha. And I asked you that question a little bit facetiously, because I just want to remove the excuses that some people make. You know, some churches were like, oh, well, I don't have the talented people that you may have in your church, or I don't have the budget that you have in your church, or XYZ. So, I want to really stress to people that, it's out there. You can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you need to pull someone in from your local community to do something, it might be a good invite tool. Things like that. So the talent is around you. Okay, so how do if a moment has been successful? How do you measure a moment or celebrate it?
The measuring, the celebrating is easier. The measuring is hard, right? Because that is something pretty subjective. It's hard to get metrics on good art or something that's memorable for people. The one thing I mentioned before was, did people take photos of it? We're a culture that wants to document things that are important to us. Are people documenting it? If you put out a hashtag for something and and you check out that hashtag and it's got no momentum, then man, maybe we missed the mark a little bit. The other thing is part participation. If you call for people to participate, are they actually doing it? Did people come forward? Did people write on that piece of pottery? One of the things that I like to actually do when I'm leading those moments is to set the bar low, but also give people excuses to not participate. So, hey, we're going to do this thing. It's a little weird. It's a little odd. By no means do you have to participate. You know, it's going to be a free-flowing experience. You can stand up, you can sit down, you can do whatever you want. If you want to participate, again, you don't have to. You can come forward. And to give a lot of disclaimers, a lot of out for people, instead of we're all rising, we're all coming forth, you're going to get 100% participation if you do that. But if you get a lot of people out and disclaimers up front that they don't have to, then when you release people to participate, you get a sense of what's genuine in people's heart. Did people come forward because it was meaning to them, or is it just because something you programmed and they felt like they needed to jump through the hoops for you to get through the service? I found that to be helpful as well. Anecdotally, to hear those stories afterwards, did it resonate with people? I'll usually, in terms of the celebrating, afterwards when we do an autopsy of the service or the event or the moment, hey, what did you guys hear? And your friends, your family, the person who visited with you, talking to other staff members, did that work? Did it not? So that's part of the evaluation for was it successful. Hearing back from those stories of whether or not it landed or if it did land.
So before we wrap today, what are some stories that you've heard of how moments that you guys have created have touched and affected people?
We just finished a series at Liquid called Freeway, in which we were looking at a roadmap to freedom. And so what does it mean? What are the kind of steps that we need to go through to kind of free ourselves from different bondage or hindrance that we're going through? And at the end, we decided to do a balloon release party. So we had this, great series. It's God calling for you to work through, give up, get over. At the end, hey, we had helium balloons at each of our campuses. We handed those out to people. Let's go on outside. Let's write what that is, and then let's release it. In terms of the people, A, People participated. We had a huge participation rate with that. People documented it. Something visual, something beautiful. Blew up our Instagram feed with that. And we saw people participating. And beyond that, it was something that was impactful. Like, I'm releasing this sin that has beset me, or this fear that I have, whatever it may be, and I'm releasing it to God. That was a huge moment for us, and it really touched a lot of people. On the front end, we had to make sure that it worked. So we had to find balloons that were biodegradable, so people wouldn't have a health issue or an earth issue with it. We had to make sure that we were far enough away from any structures that the balloons would actually be released. And if you actually kind of go and type in, like, balloon release fail into, like, YouTube, you'll see it. You'll see tons of examples when people didn't think through the logistics of their moment. The moment was really spoiled because it wasn't thought through properly. So that was one moment that worked for us really well. And then for us, we had something else called Soul Pathways, another message series we did back in the spring. And we looked at the unique ways in which God has wired us to connect with it. Hey, is it through my head? Is it through my heart? Is it through my hands? And we had a number of moments there in the services where we told people, hey, come forward and experience something different. Maybe that's not the natural way that you're wired. And see if that is something that God wants to awaken in you. The other thing in terms of those moments we've created and affected people, we realized that they are beyond our services. Oftentimes, people in the church world can create those moments just for Sunday morning. And we started to think and stretch ourselves and to think through, okay, for our staff meetings, our all-staff monthly meetings, can we create memorable moments for that? And can we throw some production effort at that? Can we throw some creativity at that? So it's not just an all-staff meeting, but it's going to be something that people walk away with. So just as, like, we're, you know, capping up here, for anybody listening, that idea of having memorable moments in a service is good, but I would say don't end there. Don't just limit that concept to your services. If there are other big events that you do, like an all-staff meeting, think through how to make that memorable as well, instead of dry kind of rote material that you feel obligated to go through. Make it something memorable people are going to walk away with.
Yeah, that's good. Man, well, thank you so much for sharing this with us. It's given me a lot of ideas on what even to take to other churches as I travel around. That, like, hey, did you think about this or think about that? So, man, thank you for that, and thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate your insight and everything that you've shared today with us, brother.
Excellent, Carl. Great to be with you.
Now, how can we keep up with you? How can we follow you? We got you write for us on our blog, and you got your own blog going. Tell us about your website and how we can follow you.
Yeah, you can check me out at benstapley.info. Benstapley.info. Love for you to check it out. That's some additional teaching and training resources there. But again, also have my content at your site. Love the content you put out there as well. Great to be a part of your blog space as well.
Well, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Carl.
Hi there, everybody. My name is Ben Stapley, and my desire is to help you create and capture moving and memorable moments. My background includes a number of artistic disciplines such as videography, photography, stage design, event planning, and more. I also teach and blog about media and communications and creativity. I serve on staff at Liquid Church as a creative arts pastor. Liquid is a fast-growing church in New Jersey with 6 campuses. Our vision is to saturate the state with the gospel of Christ. At Liquid, I have the opportunity to oversee the weekend service, worship experience, video creation, and church online. If you have a message you would like to communicate, contact me. I would love to help you get it out. Find out more at benstapley.info.
Show notes for this episode are on our website. You can also check out the archives of our show at 1230media.com/podcast. We are on episode number 80. We are in year number 2 of the show. Incredible. Thank you so much for staying with us.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, I welcome Adam McLaughlin. Adam's new book, Trust Glue, is about ways to focus on your first impression. You and I both know that someone's experience when they come to our church doesn't start with a worship service. It starts when they drive into the parking lot of your church. Adam and I discuss 11 ways that you can make an incredible first impression at your church. Check that out next week on the show. David Michael Hyde is our producer extraordinaire. You can find him online at davidmichaelhyde.com if you dare. Thank you for listening this week. If you would, sometime today, go to iTunes and leave a review of the show. We would appreciate that, and it helps our ranking in the iTunes database so that more churches can get this content for their teams absolutely free. Simply search for the Church Media Podcast in iTunes and leave a quick review and rating for us if you would. It's a privilege hanging out with you guys each and every week. Go out there and create some amazing experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, transcripts, and more free Church Media resources for your team, visit 1230media.com.
We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.